gospel lesson this morning is, as Heather has described, the story of Zacchaeus. It's found in Luke chapter 19, first 10 verses. It's only found in Luke's gospel, one of his special gifts to us. Listen once more for God's word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it, and a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. And so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay them four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Let us pray. Loving God, dwell with us once more, that by your Spirit and your grace, your word will be alive, your will be clear, and the path we should follow in following you will open before us. So walk now with us, living word, Lamb of God. Amen. Did many of you take driver's ed classes? I remember first learning to drive and feeling overwhelmed at all the different things I was supposed to do simultaneously. Keep your hands in the right place on the steering wheel. Watch your gauges. Check the rearview mirror. Check the side mirror. Keep your eyes moving. Watch your blind spots. Watch your speed. Stay alert. And oh, you should relax a little more. Do you remember the first time you were driving in city traffic, trying to keep an eye on everything? How close is that person in front of me? How fast am I going? Is the kid on the sidewalk going to run out in the street? And why is no one using their turn signals? Or remember the first time you were driving a little economy car out on the highway, stuck somewhere behind a huge vehicle, gas-guzzling Escalade or a Hummer or a semi. And you're stuck there. You can't read the signs. You can't see the traffic lights. You can't see around them if it's safe to pass or not. Your sight line is totally blocked. Jesus was walking through Jericho. He didn't appear to be interested in stopping and enjoying hospitality from any of the locals in that place. He and his disciples were on their way to the capital city, traveling to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but how shall I put this? He was a Honda Civic in a world of SUVs. He was a diminutive person stuck behind the starting lineup of the New York Knicks. He was, in the words of the famous Sunday school song, a wee little man was he. By the way, in one of my first preaching classes at seminary, the entire class was required to give a short sermon on Zacchaeus' passage. And bless our naive souls, four-fifths of the class thought it would be highly original to start the sermon by singing, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man." It has ruined me on the song for life. Zacchaeus was trying to find sight lines that would allow him to see Jesus when Jesus passed by on the road. In reality, the problem wasn't his height. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He had bought the franchise rights for the Jericho tax market. He would collect money from the residents. He would send off a set amount to Rome and keep the difference for himself. And of all the tax collectors in the region, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector and was very wealthy. Now, because of the money that was being collected was going to the Romans, Zacchaeus was seen as a collaborator. And no one in a crowd makes room or defers to a collaborator. In fact, it is dangerous for collaborators to even attempt to push their way into crowds. A quick move, a flash of a knife, a muffled cry, and no matter how many people saw the violent act, there'd be no one to speak up in court on behalf of a rich fat cat who worked for the enemy. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, yet he had obstacles that he would have to overcome if he was able to see Christ. There were the literal backs of the crowds that blocked his sight lines because he was short. But there was also the way that he had chosen to live his life had caused people's backs to be turned toward him as a tax collector. And because of his wealth, or even in spite of his wealth, he was a person on the margins. Now, if you want to preach well on this passage, one option is to point out how Zacchaeus, with determination, didn't let obstacles stand in his way. When he couldn't see Jesus on the ground, Zacchaeus got creative. He did something unexpected, out of the ordinary, something contrary to social customs. He literally climbed a tree. So what have you done lately in order to see Jesus? Setting the alarm clock and walking through wide open doors into the sanctuary doesn't count. What obstacles have you identified that have kept you from seeing Jesus clearly? And how have you moved far above the maddening crowd in order to glimpse the Lord? What have you had to let go of in order to live a life that is more faithful? Now, these are all rhetorical questions, but they're very personal questions. A life of faith is not a stroll in the park to a front row seat before the throne of the living God. A life of faith is a different way to exist in this world because it's not something of this world. It is something that's intentional, sacrificial. It requires commitment. It's a call for action. So if you're tired of standing in the back of the crowd, if you're tired of seeing the back of other people's heads, then maybe you need to climb a tree or go out on a limb so that you can see Jesus clearly at last. Zacchaeus did that. Zacchaeus climbed a tree. He risked being called foolish by the world standards, but in that moment, it made him wise in the eyes of God. And in that moment, he was renamed what he had always been, a child of Abraham. He, the despised outsider, became the only one in that entire city to offer hospitality to the visiting rabbi. And where he had done things wrong, now he promised to put things right. Such is the transformation that comes from seeing clearly with sight lines open the Son of God who came to seek and to save the lost. So you can preach a pretty good sermon on this passage by holding up the example of Zacchaeus as someone we should emulate. You share his personal testimony, and that encourages us to also be more active, to make changes in our lives that we too may see Jesus and find salvation. But there's more to this story than simply Zacchaeus getting Jesus in his sight lines. There's also the matter of Jesus having Zacchaeus in his sight lines. And from that perspective, we see something that opens up now the whole gospel to us. A gospel of justice, a gospel of compassion, a gospel of real change. For this part, I'm grateful to the theologian Ken Bailey. So let's start with one simple detail from this story. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree. For reasons of security and aesthetics, ancient biblical towns thought dimly of large trees, particularly those like sycamores with low-hanging branches, growing up near the city walls. They forbade them anywhere within 75, 100 or so yards of the city itself. Sycamores, then, had to be a fair distance outside the town. Sycamores also have very large leaves. So when Scripture says Zacchaeus ran on ahead, he was not only getting away from a potentially hostile crowd, he was heading for a tree with low branches and big leaves in which he could hide. So the next question, well, how did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? Now you can say, well, Jesus is the Son of God, he knows everything. But that distances us unnecessarily from the story and from Jesus' ministry. Bailey offers a much simpler explanation. What if someone in the crowd spotted Zacchaeus up there in the tree and began calling him by name, or more likely, began calling him names? There's Zacchaeus, the collaborator, the fink, the thief. He's up in a tree of all places. Things could have gotten ugly very quickly. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, more than likely he would have been expected to join in the rhetoric, to offer an official condemnation of Zacchaeus' choices. He could have told Zacchaeus, you need to stop betraying God and God's people. You need to repent and purify yourselves according to the Torah and thereby be restored as a child of Abraham. And if he would have offered words like that, Jesus likely would have been surrounded with supporters and a hearty round of applause. Jesus always had a way of welcoming the wrong people and of breaking all the accepted rules. No guest selects his host. But in this case, Jesus announced that you, Zacchaeus, you'll provide hospitality for me. And by picking Zacchaeus, a sinner and a man of impurity, Jesus was going to walk now into a house of sin and impurity. He was going to sit on the chairs, eat off the utensils, and sleep in the guest room, becoming himself then ritually defiled just hours before the start of the holy season of Passover. It was a crazy act, and the crowd knew it, and they told one another what they thought of it. In that moment, Jesus took their hostility towards Zacchaeus and now took it upon himself. And a foreshadowing of the cross was revealed there in the shade beneath a sycamore tree outside of Jericho. And you know what happened next. Zacchaeus is changed. He promises to make restitution, to give away half of his wealth to the poor, to pay back those he's defrauded fourfold. A lost sheep has been found and brought back into the fold. So would say a simple personalistic sermon. But the gospel is never just personalistic. Salvation is never just an individual private matter. Because Zacchaeus' conversion had personal and social and economic consequences. He was changed. His role in the community would be transformed. The poor around him would now receive alms. Those cheated and lied to would be repaid. All at the same time, simultaneously. And the passage ends by saying, "The Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." The lost is a collective noun. Salvation is never just about individual tally marks in heaven, because that view allows us to easily focus on whether or not my tally mark is in heaven, and whether the rest of your marks is up there, well, that's another matter and perhaps not as important. But in this case, yes, we are to keep Jesus in our sight lines. And like Zacchaeus, we are to do whatever it takes to get our life in order that we might see and do what is right with God and with others. But the good news is that Jesus has us in his sight lines. As with Zacchaeus, Jesus welcomes the wrong people all the time, including us. Like with Zacchaeus, Jesus keeps breaking conventions, and he asks and wants to dine with us. Jesus takes the wrath of others, the sins of the world, the irrational fears and hatreds and lusts and addictions around him, and takes them upon himself. And in that moment, we are transformed, because he transforms them. And then he calls us by name and joins himself to us. It's through that sight line, through that seeking us out, seeking the lost, a collective noun, remember, that we are saved. The whole of life is affected. A foretaste of the complete reign of God is now revealed. So drive safely. Keep your eyes moving. Share the road, share the earth. Make things right. Jesus has you in his sight lines, which is good news. So rejoice and be glad, one and all. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us enter into a time of prayer together. Let us pray. Loving God, our Creator, in Jesus Christ, your Son, our brother and Lord, you have brought us here together. Stay with us. Go with us, each to our own places when we again leave this place. And do not let go of any of us. Let none of us sink and become lost. Help us to keep you in our sights and to remember that we are always in your sight. And so we pray that you will enlighten and comfort and strengthen us and those who are dear to us, both near and far, our friends and even our enemies. We also bring before you all of the known and unknown cares, desires, and needs of all people, those within the community gathered here, and those across all communities in all nations. We pray for those who are in positions of governance and rule, those responsible for consulting, advising, ruling, and deciding matters of all nations in all places. We pray for all who are downtrodden and oppressed, for those who are poor, for those who are victims of oppression, for those who are sick and injured. We pray for all who are troubled, timid, and confused. We pray for all over the world who long for justice and freedom and peace. We pray for those on the hearts and minds of this family of faith, for Kim and her daughter Ashley, for Marilyn and Mary Pat, for Tad, for Pam and her brother Paul, for Marty and Susan and Liz, for Emily and her brother Peter, for Sherry, for Max, and for Tony. For all who have needs, who sit here in these pews or bring with them the needs of loved ones on their heart, hear our prayers. Let many, let all, and let even us learn that we are in the hand of your almighty grace. Let us remember that through the power of your grace, you will ultimately put an end to all injustice and poverty. That you are the God who will make a new heaven and a new earth in which your justice, your peace, and your love will live. Help us to be instruments of your mercy, instruments of your grace and of your love in our lives, to all people. Glory be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you were in the beginning, are, and ever shall be, now and forevermore. Hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.